Chapter 3. When Conan wheeled to see the tapestry settling back in place and to hear Natala's muffled cry, he hurled himself against the wall with a maddened roar. Rebounding from the impact that would have splintered the bones of a lesser man, he ripped away the tapestry, revealing what appeared to be a blank wall. Beside himself with fury, he lifted his saber as though to hew through the marble when a sudden sound brought him about, eyes blazing. A score of figures faced him. Yellow men in purple tunics, with short swords in their hands. As he turned, they surged in on him with hostile cries. He made no attempt to conciliate them. Maddened at the disappearance of his sweetheart, the barbarian reverted to type. A snarl of bloodthirsty gratification hummed in his bull throat as he leaped, and the first attacker, his short sword overreached by the whistling saber, went down with his brains gushing from his split skull. Wheeling like a cat, Conan caught a descending wrist on his edge, and the hand gripping the short sword flew into the air, scattering a shower of red drops. But Conan had not paused or hesitated. A pantherish twist and shift of his body avoided the blundering rush of two yellow swordsmen, and the blade of one missing its objective was sheathed in the breast of the other. A yell of dismay went up at this mischance, and Conan allowed himself a short bark of laughter as he bounded aside from a whistling cut and slashed under the guard of yet another man of Xuthal. A long spurt of crimson followed his singing edge, and the man crumpled screaming, his belly muscles cut through. The warriors of Xuthal howled like mad wolves. Unaccustomed to battle, they were ridiculously slow and clumsy compared to the tigerish barbarian, whose motions were blurs of quickness, possible only to steel thews knit to a perfect fighting brain. They floundered and stumbled, hindered by their own numbers. They struck too quick or too soon and cut only empty air. He was never motionless or in the same place an instant. Springing, sidestepping, whirling, twisting, he offered a constantly shifting target for their swords, while his own curved blade sang death about their ears. But whatever their faults, the men of Xuthal did not lack courage. They swarmed about him, yelling and hacking, and through the arched doorways rushed others, awakened from their slumbers by the unwanted clamor. Conan, bleeding from a cut on the temple, cleared a space for an instant with a devastating sweep of his dripping saber, and cast a quick glance about him for an avenue of escape. At that instant, he saw the tapestry on one of the walls drawn aside, disclosing a narrow stairway. On this stood a man in rich robes, vague-eyed and blinking as if he had just awakened and had not yet shaken the dust of slumber from his brain. Conan's sight and action were simultaneous. A tigerish leap carried him untouched through the hemming ring of swords, and he bounded toward the stair with the pack giving tongue behind him. Three men confronted him at the foot of the marble steps, and he struck them with a deafening clash of steel. There was a frenzied instant when the blades flamed like summer lightning, then the group fell apart and Conan sprang up the stair. The oncoming horde tripped over three writhing forms at its foot. One lay face down in a sickening welter of blood and brains. Another propped himself on his hands, blood spurting blackly from his severed throat veins. The other howled like a dying dog as he clawed at the crimson stump that had been an arm. As Conan rushed up the marble stair, the man above shook himself from his stupor and drew a sword that sparkled frostily in the radium light. He thrust downward as the barbarian surged toward him. But as the point sang toward his throat, Conan ducked deeply. The blade slit the skin of his back, and Conan straightened, driving his saber upward as a man might wield a butcher knife, with all the power of his mighty shoulders. So terrific was his headlong drive that the sinking of the saber to the hilt into the belly of his enemy did not check him. He caromed against the wretch's body, knocking it sideways. The impact sent Conan crashing against the wall. The other, the saber torn through his body, fell headlong down the stair, ripped open to the spine from groin to broken breastbone. In a ghastly mess of streaming entrails, the body tumbled against the men rushing up the stairs, bearing them back with it. Half-stunned, Conan leaned against the wall for an instant, glaring down upon them. Then, with a defiant shake of his dripping saber, he bounded up the steps. Coming into an upper chamber, he halted only long enough to see that it was empty. Behind him, the horde was yelling with such intensified horror and rage that he knew he had killed some notable man there on the stair. Probably the king of that fantastic city. He ran at random, without plan. He desperately wished to find and succor Natala, who he was sure needed aid badly, but as harried as he was by all the warriors in Xuthal, he could only run on, trusting to luck to elude them and find her. Among those dark or dimly lighted upper chambers, he quickly lost all sense of direction, and it was not strange that he eventually blundered into a chamber into which his foes were just pouring. They yelled vengefully and rushed for him, and with a snarl of disgust he turned and fled back the way he had come. At least he thought it was the way he had come. But presently, racing into a particularly ornate chamber, he was aware of his mistake. All the chambers he had traversed since mounting the stair had been empty. This chamber had an occupant, who rose up with a cry as he charged in. Conan saw a yellow-skinned woman, loaded with jeweled ornaments but otherwise nude, staring at him with wide eyes. So much he glimpsed as she raised her hand and jerked a silken rope hanging from the wall. Then the floor dropped from under him, and all his steel-trap coordination could not save him from the plunge into the black depths that opened beneath him. He did not fall any great distance, though it was far enough to have snapped the leg bones of a man not built of steel springs and whalebone. He hit cat-like on his feet in one hand, instinctively retaining his grasp on his saber hilt. A familiar cry rang in his ears as he rebounded on his feet as a lynx rebounds with snarling bared fangs. So Conan, glaring from under his tousled mane, saw the white, naked figure of Natala, writhing in the lustful grasp of a black nightmare that could only have been bred in the lost pits of hell. The sight of that awful shape alone might have frozen the Cimmerian with fear. In juxtaposition to his girl, the sight sent a red wave of murderous fury through Conan's brain. In a crimson mist, he smote the monster. It dropped the girl, wheeling toward its attacker, and the maddened Cimmerian's saber, shrilling through the air, sheared clear through the black, viscous bulk and rang on the stone floor, showering blue sparks. Conan went to his knees from the fury of the blow. The edge had not encountered the resistance he had expected. As he bounded up, the thing was upon him. It towered above him like a clinging black cloud. It seemed to flow about him in almost liquid waves to envelop and engulf him. His madly slashing saber sheared through it again and again. His ripping poignard tore it and rent it. He was deluged with a slimy liquid that must have been its sluggish blood. Yet its fury was nowise abated. He could not tell whether he was slashing off its members or whether he was cleaving its bulk which knit behind the slicing blade. He was tossed to and fro in the violence of that awful battle and had a dazed feeling that he was fighting not one but an aggregation of lethal creatures. The thing seemed to be biting, clawing, crushing, and clubbing him all at the same time. He felt fangs and talons rend his flesh, flabby cables that were yet hard as iron encircled his limbs and body, and worst of all, something like a whip of scorpions fell, again and again across his shoulders, back, and breast, tearing the skin and filling his veins with a poison that was like liquid fire. They had rolled beyond the circle of light, and it was in utter blackness that the Cimmerian battled. Once he sank his teeth, beast-like, into the flabby substance of his foe, revolting as the stuff writhed and squirmed like living rubber between his iron jaws. In that hurricane of battle they were rolling over and over, farther and farther down the tunnel. Conan's brain reeled from the punishment he was taking. His breath came in whistling gasps between his teeth. High above him he saw a great toad-like face, dimly limned in an eerie glow that seemed to emanate from it. And with a panting cry that was half curse, half gasp of straining agony, he lunged toward it, thrusting with all his waning power. Hilt deep the saber sank somewhere below the grisly face, and a convulsive shudder heaved the vast bulk that half enveloped the Cimmerian. With a volcanic burst of contraction and expansion, it tumbled backward, rolling now with frantic haste down the corridor. Conan went with it, bruised, battered, invincible, hanging on like a bulldog to the hilt of his saber, which he could not withdraw, tearing and ripping at the shuddering bulk with the poignard in his left hand, goring it to ribbons. The thing glowed all over now with a weird phosphorus radiance, and this glow was in Conan's eyes, blinding him, as suddenly the heaving, billowing mass fell away from beneath him, the saber tearing loose and remaining in his locked hand. This hand and arm hung out in space, and far below him the glowing body of the monster was rushing downward like a meteor. Conan dazedly realized that he lay on the brink of a great round well, the edge of which was slimy stone. He lay there watching the hurtling glow dwindling and dwindling until it vanished into a dark, shining surface that seemed to surge upward to meet it. For an instant a dimming witch-fire glimmered in those dusky depths. Then it disappeared, and Conan lay staring down into the blackness of the ultimate abyss, from which no sound came.